Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So now that we've actually completed the chapters on wudu and the chapters on ghusl, the next section that we're going to speak about actually is tayammum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in His glorious book after A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim, wa in kuntum marda aw ala safarin aw jaa'a ahadukum min al-gha'it aw lamastumun nisaa falam tajidu ma'a fatayammamu sa'idan tayyiba. وَمْسَهُ بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ مِنْهِ. So this is actually the key ayah. Allah states, and if you are sick or on a journey or you come from relieving yourselves or you touch women, meaning in this touching of women implies actual relations with women, conjugal relation with a woman, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, and you don't find water, then perform tayammum with types of earth and wipe over your faces and your hands with that earth. So this actually is the ayah which made tayammum permissible for our ummah. Tayammum refers to purifying yourself using types of earth, for example sand, dust, plaster, coal, all these are types of earth, dirt. They can be used to purify our bodies when water is not available. And we'll talk in detail what we mean by water not being available. But essentially, you should know that initially, water was the only tool of purification within our tradition, in the very early tradition during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, in the very, very beginning, you can only use water. So if you want to make wudu, you have to use water. If you want to take ghusl, you had to have used some water. Then what happened was once the Prophet ﷺ was actually traveling with a group of the Sahaba, and he had actually, you know, when he used to make these journeys with the Sahaba, he used to take one of his wives with him. So they would have different turns. Each one would get a turn to go on the journey. So anyway, on one particular journey, Aisha radiallahu anha was the wife who was actually appointed to travel with him on that journey. On the way, they stopped at a place called Dhat al-Jaysh. The name of the place was Dhat al-Jaysh. And they actually stopped there for a break during their journey. And Aisha radiallahu anha lost her necklace when they stopped at this particular place. So the caravan, then they all began to search for the necklace and no one could find it. So the caravan got held up. And this was right before the time of the Fajr Salah. So everybody was busy trying to find this necklace. They couldn't find it. The caravan got held up and they had very little water. And they actually went to Abu Bakr and they complained radiallahu anha that Aisha radiallahu anha was holding up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and holding up the whole caravan. So anyway, he became very upset and he actually went and reprimanded Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was sleeping. And at dawn, he actually awoke. When they used to travel, they used to stop before the very last third of the night and they would sleep in that time as a break. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at dawn awoke and there was no water available and they needed to obviously perform wudu. Upon that, when the Prophet ﷺ didn't have water available, all of a sudden this verse was revealed, the verse of Tayammum, which I just recited before you. And one of the companions, whose name was Usayd, actually went to Abu Bakr, and he said, "Ma hiya bi awwali barakatikum ya Ali Abi Bakr." Now this is not the first benefit that this ummah has taken from you, O family of Abu Bakr. Meaning, based on the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha lost her necklace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in response when the water wasn't available then reveal this ayah. So this is actually a very, very beautiful ayah because it shows you the interaction that the Sahaba had with the Sahaba and of course through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning it's as if Allah was watching this whole event of just some minuscule necklace being lost but used it as an excuse to reveal this beautiful ayah so that the ummah till the end of time could benefit from various types of earth to purify themselves. So that's really incredible. The fact that Allah is watching this necklace being lost and no one being able to find it, or actually Allah is inspiring it in essence, right? Allah is the one who causes everything. And then subsequently in the background of that, of a necklace being lost, Allah reveals the verses of Tayammum, which then allow for us to use dirt or types of earth when water may either not be available or may be detrimental to our health. The other thing to take home from this is that it's almost unthinkable that dirt be a substitute for water because we consider dirt as quote-unquote dirty. It's not clean. But pure, remember, we talked about this in the very beginning. There's a difference between clean and pure. So purification is very different than cleanliness, and we gave multiple examples in the very first class about this. But what's really unique is it's almost unthinkable that you would use dirt to purify yourself. In the case of when water is not available, you can actually go to dirt to purify yourself. And that shows you, again, the fact that sometimes things are not as rational as we might like them to be within the deen. But that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it. So we're servants, so we follow. So the lack of water, how do you define the lack of water? Meaning, if you want to perform tayammum, it has to be with an excuse. And one of the excuses has to be lack of water, or could be lack of water. Now I could sit right here in the masjid and say, well, I don't see any water around me, so therefore I'm going to go ahead and perform tayammum. So there's got to be some definition according to the fuqaha. And the fuqaha have actually defined it as distance of 1 mile. So if there's no water in a 1 mile radius around you, then you are permitted to leave the use of water and move towards the use of types of earth to purify yourself. Similarly, in the case of inability to use water, so for example, if you have a little bit of water, let's say you have a small water bottle like this with you and you're in the middle of the desert, if you fear that if you use this water to purify yourself, you might die of thirst, then you should not use this water because you need to preserve your life. And so in that case, you can go ahead and use types of earth. Similarly, if you're sick, and remember one principle within our Sharia, and that is that in the case of sickness, the righteous doctor becomes equivalent to the mufti in the case of sickness. So when a righteous doctor tells you you shouldn't fast, then that becomes the fatwa for you not to fast. For example, in the month of Ramadan, if you're debating whether you're sick or not, let's say a pregnant woman goes to her doctor, and it's a righteous doctor who understands what Ramadan is, understands what Ramadan is about, and at the same time understands the value or the necessity of keeping the health of the mother and the baby. If that doctor recommends not fasting, then that becomes the fatwa for you. Same thing in the case of water. If a doctor says to you that it is detrimental for you to use water to purify yourself, that becomes a fatwa, which then subsequently permits you to move to tayammum. So the Sharia places a very, very places the doctor who's righteous in an eminent position in order to make decisions for the believers. Now, there are some cases where tayammum may be permissible on rare occasion. For example, let's say that you're coming to the masjid and you see that there's a jama'ah standing up for salah, and now you might think, okay, if I go to perform wudu, I may not be able to catch the jama'ah, so let me just perform tayammum against the wall or find some dirt and quickly perform tayammum. That's not permissible. Because where you have a khalifa, you cannot perform tayammum. What I mean by khalifa is a backup. So for example, if it's the jama'ah of dhuhr, you can just pray dhuhr on your own. Or let's say it's the time of dhuhr is about to end and there's just 3 minutes left, and if you perform wudu, you know you won't be able to fit it into the prayer into the time. Still, it doesn't matter because you can do qada. You have a backup. So where there's a backup, you are not allowed to use tayammum. The next question might be, what about the case of Jummah? In the case of Jummah, since Jummah is such a valuable salah, can I, if I'm coming to the masjid and I see Jummah is about to end, the prayer is about to end and I need to join, and if I go make wudu and there's a huge line in the bathroom, I'll miss the salah. Well, you still have a khalifa there because you can pray dhuhr. You have a backup. But there are two exceptions where you don't have backups. Number one is salatul janazah. So in the case of a funeral prayer, there's no backup. There's only one funeral prayer, only one funeral prayer that can be held over a body. If you come into a situation where you see that a funeral prayer is about to occur, and you know that if you go and wait in line to make wudu, you will miss the funeral prayer, in that instance you are allowed to make tayammum to pray that funeral prayer. Similar is the case with Eid. In the case of Eid, if it's the Eid prayer, and you know that if I go and wait in line to make wudu, I will miss the mandatory Eid prayer, then you can perform tayammum to join the prayer. In the good old days, when there was just one big jamia masjid and everybody went there, it was understandable. But nowadays, you should also consider that there's a jamaah every 10-15 minutes along this strip, because there's so many masajids in Chicago, and so many of them have prayers. So in that case, you might want to consider that there might be a backup in the sense that you can go to another mosque that is nearby. But let's just say you were in a masjid in a city where there's only one masjid and there's one Eid prayer, and you get to the Eid prayer, and let's say right before the Eid prayer is about to occur, you vomit. So in that instance, you're allowed to do that. But otherwise, you cannot go to tayammum without a valid excuse. So the valid excuses are essentially then distance of water or lack of ability to use water. Okay, so not having water, not being able to use water if you have it, or in the case where you're about to miss some type of ibadah which has no khalifa, no backup. And that's only two instances. Number one, the janazah, and number two, the Eid prayer, where there might not be any other Eid prayer in the vicinity at a later time. Now, what can you use to make tayammum? What different substances are permissible? Basically, any type of ground. Anything that's a jins or a type of earth. So that includes dust, sand, gravel, coal, plaster. All these things are permissible. But tayammum is actually done by making an intention, and the intention here is mandatory. It is mandatory to make the niyyah in tayammum. The reason why is, or now remember that in the case of ghusl and in the case of wudu, you didn't need an intention. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in His holy book, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا, that we have revealed from the sky water as both pure and purifying. So water inherently purifies. You don't need a niyyah to make it a purifier. But in the case of dirt, dirt is not inherently made to purify us. It's a secondary backup. So in that case, you have to make a niyyah before you can use the earth to purify you. So that's very important. If you're going to perform tayammum, you have to make a niyyah first. It's mandatory in the case of tayammum. And then after that, it involves two hits. And if you recall the ayah said, فَمْسَهُ بِوُجُوهِكُمْ, and wipe your faces, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ, and your hands. So what happens in tayammum is that you actually perform, it's called two hits. So you take your hands, and you actually hit them down on the ground that you're going to perform the tayammum upon. Let's say it's sand. So you're sitting, you're at a park, and there's a sandbox, and you're going to perform tayammum with that sand. So basically, you take your hands, you make the intention first that you're using this dirt to purify yourself, you take your hands, knock them on the ground, rub them forward and back, and then take off all the extra dust. The purpose is not to get as much dirt as you can on you. That doesn't make you more pure. But this is a symbolic event, essentially. It's just Allah's infinite mercy. So you get some dust on your hands, you snap your hands together to remove the residual dust, and then you go ahead and first wipe your face. And after you wipe your face, now you have to be complete about the face. And we've defined the face in previous lessons, right? The face is from the hairline to the chin, and then lengthwise and widthwise between the two earlobes. So that's the definition of the face, and the same ruling for the beard and the thick hair will apply. If you have thick hair and it covers the skin of the face, then that takes the hukum of the face. So in the case of the eyebrows, you don't need to dig in, and in the case of the thick beard, you will just go over it. Whereas if the beard is thin and you can see the skin underneath, you have to get the skin. So you'll hit the ground once, go forward, go back, wipe off the extra dust, and completely do completely wipe over your face entirely. Now that's the first hit. Then again, you do the same thing. You hit the ground again, and you'll go forward and back, wipe off the extra dust, and then you'll do mashab the entire arm, from the fingertips to the inclusive of the elbows. So with one hand, you'll wipe one arm. With the opposite hand, you wipe the other arm. Make sure that you get in between the spaces of the fingers, because those are mandatory as well. And then you will now be in a state of purity. This is an absolute state of purity with which you can do anything. You can pray sunnah, you can pray nawafil, you can pray fara'id. And in fact, let's say that you have performed tayammum and somebody else has performed wudu, and you both meet somewhere in a desert. Those two are equal. The person who performed wudu with water and the person who performed wudu with tayammum are considered equal according to the Hanafi madhab. So we won't say, oh, you know, brother, you did wudu with water, so you should be the imam because I only did tayammum. No, they're equivalent. Once you performed your tayammum, it acts just like wudu or ghusl if you needed it. So let's say you perform tayammum and you go use the bathroom, you have to perform a new tayammum. If you perform tayammum and you have, conjugal relations with your wife, then you need to perform a new tayammum in order to remove those states of hadath al-aswar in the case of using the washroom, and hadath al-akbar, major ritual impurity, in the case of relations with your wife. Also, beyond that, tayammum will break when the opportunity for water re-arises. So let's say you perform tayammum and all of a sudden you're walking down the street and you see a water fountain. The second you see the water fountain, your wudu or ghusl, whatever you use the tayammum for, breaks because now water is available. So when water becomes available, that breaks the state of purification that was attained by way of tayammum. So keep that in mind. So everything that would normally break wudu or your ghusl would also break your tayammum, And beyond that, if you find water or gain the regain the ability to use water, then in those cases, your tayammum will break as well, and you'll have to go ahead and use the water to perform whatever act of purification, either wudu or ghusl. Initially, the Sahaba were somewhat uncertain about whether they could use tayammum for ghusl. They knew they could use tayammum for wudu, but they weren't sure about whether they could use tayammum for ghusl. They thought it was only for wudu. So on one occasion, and this is actually narrated in Imam Bukhari's book, Umar radiallahu anh and Ammar ibn Yasir were actually traveling together, and both of them were in the need for a ghusl, and the time for prayer came, and there was no water available. So Umar said radiallahu anh that I'm not going to pray, because I don't have water available, and I think my feeling is tayammum is only appropriate for wudu, but not for ghusl, and I'm in need of a ghusl. And Ammar ibn Yasir said, well, okay, if for the sake of wudu, I just wipe my head and then I wipe my arms, for the sake of ghusl, it must be more. So he just started rolling around in the dirt until he got himself completely covered with dirt. And then he thought, and then he went ahead and prayed. And then they went to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ explained to them that no, the tayammum counts for both wudu and ghusl. So, and this is actually all narrated in Imam Bukhari's book in a hadith. The tayammum is a very, very powerful form of purification. It not only allows you to remove minor states of ritual impurity, but also major states of ritual impurity as well.